From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in East Oakland.
I live in Richmond.
Lake Merritt.
I live in North Oakland.
Berkeley.
Coming up, we're exploring what it means to protest during the national anthem.
Kaepernick brought an issue to the public that apparently is as old as the cotton fields.
When San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick spoke out against police bias during a flag ceremony, he sparked a controversy around the country.
You know, I said from the beginning I was against oppression, I was against the system of oppression.
And Colin, if this country disgusts you so much, leave.
We'll explore the meaning of the national anthem, the history behind Kaepernick's action, and the reverberations around the Bay Area.
The reason we kneel is because we're not one people right now, we're just two separate sides.
Race, protest, respect, and America. Coming up today on Cross Currents. For many people, this is a time to reflect on what it means to live in the United States. The election season revealed a divided nation, and many folks are saying they feel like strangers in their own country. Clearly, many already did. One person who's been expressing this sentiment on the national stage is Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. Before a preseason game in August, he chose not to stand during the singing of the national anthem. He said it was a protest against police brutalizing people of color in the United States.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust, people aren't being held accountable for. And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now.
His protest launched a national controversy, a discussion around the country about what it means to respect the national anthem. And that's what we're taking on today. Kaepernick has embraced his role as a social justice spokesman. 2 weeks ago, he hosted a camp in Oakland for underprivileged kids throughout the Bay Area. Inspired in part by the Black Panther Party, it drew more than 100 people who learned about education, finances, physical fitness, and how to face oppression. Kaepernick says he hopes to replicate the camp around the country.
From top to bottom, it was something myself, my woman, our friends, we came together, we put it together as far as curriculum, the event, everything. So, you know, we wanted to make sure it was something that was very grassroots, that was true to what we believed, and the message wasn't, you know, skewed or misrepresented or manipulated by a corporation that we had to stand behind.
And then last week, Kaepernick chose not to vote in the presidential election. In fact, it turns out he's not even registered to vote, according to an investigation by the Sacramento Bee. That prompted a backlash from previous supporters, like commentator Stephen A. Smith on ESPN's First Take.
He absolutely betrayed his cause. As far as I'm concerned, Colin Kaepernick is absolutely irrelevant. I don't want to see him again. I don't want to hear from him again. I don't want to hear a damn word about anything that he has to say about our nation, the issues that we have, racial injustices, needing change, etc., etc. He comes across as a flaming hypocrite.
Kaepernick's abstention even prompted a joke from comedian Dave Chappelle during his opening monologue for NBC's Saturday Night Live.
So I'm staying out of it. It's going to take a knee like Kaepernick and let the whites figure this out amongst themselves.
Kaepernick had a football game to play on Sunday. During the post-game press conference, he was asked about not voting.
You know, I think it would be hypocritical for me to vote. You know, I said from the beginning I was against oppression. I was against the system of oppression. I'm not going to show support for that system. And to me, the oppressor isn't going to allow you to vote your way out of your oppression.
Kaepernick has invoked Malcolm X many times over the last few months, and Malcolm X's philosophies were complicated. You can hear that in one of the speeches he's best known for, made in 1964. It's called The Ballot or the Bullet. Malcolm X thought the Republican candidate for president, Barry Goldwater, was racist. He called him a wolf, an obvious threat. But Malcolm X was also frustrated with the policies of the Democratic Party under President Lyndon Johnson. He called Johnson a fox, a sneaky enemy. Whether by the fox or the wolf, Malcolm X said, black people would get eaten.
You can see that the Negro vote is the key factor.
And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump.
Still, Malcolm X said, it was important to be involved politically.
We must understand the politics of our community. And we must know what politics is supposed to produce. We must know what part politics play in our lives. And until we become politically mature, we will always be misled, led astray, or deceived, or maneuvered into supporting someone politically who doesn't have the good of our community at heart.
Ultimately, he thought if there was no candidate he believed in, he would not vote. He said, quote, "A ballot is like a bullet. You don't throw your ballots until you see a target. And if that target is not within your reach, keep your ballot in your pocket."
Today, our people can see that we're faced with a government conspiracy. This government has failed us.
Those are the words of Malcolm X speaking in Detroit, Michigan during a presidential campaign just over half a century ago. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Colin Kaepernick ignited a heated conversation over race and patriotism with a simple gesture involving the national anthem. We're all familiar with the song. It's played at the beginning of major sporting events in the United States. Francis Scott Key wrote the lyrics during the War of 1812. After the British Army burned down the White House and Congress, they tried but failed to destroy Fort McHenry in Baltimore. Key witnessed the assault and was inspired to record his thoughts in poetry. His words were set to a drinking song, and then, more than a century later, they were declared our national anthem. The part that we always hear is the first verse. We almost never hear the rest of the poem written by Key, who was a slave owner. Some of those words are, quote, "No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave." On the surface, those lyrics appear to be about hunting down runaway slaves. But given the context of the time and place the poem was written, many historians say they more likely refer to the way the British Army used mercenaries and slaves to fight against the United States. But there's something else. The anthem wasn't finished. In 1861, another verse was added by Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr., a writer, educator, and father of an eventual Supreme Court justice. "By the millions unchained, who their birthright has gained, we will keep her bright blazon forever unstained." In his update to the national anthem at the onset of the Civil War, Wendell Holmes said that the flag stands for freeing the slaves. Like a holy book, the meaning of the words has changed over time. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. More than two-thirds of inmates in California state prisons are Latino or African American, according to the most recent census. And more than 1,000 military veterans are admitted annually. They're all people who have a stake in the debate around Colin Kaepernick's protest of the national anthem. Here's what some of them have to say.
My name is Charles David Henry. I'm in prison for an attempted murder on a Long Beach police officer. I've been in prison for 12 years. I was in the United States Air Force Security Service for 3 years, 11 months, and 13 days.
My name is Emil DeWeaver. When I was 18 years old, I murdered a man and I attempted to murder a witness. I've been in prison for the past 20 years.
My name is Gary Cooper. I served in Marine Corps from 1966 to 70, a combat veteran, Vietnam 66 to 68.
My name is Angelo Mecchi. I've been in prison for 21 years. I committed the offense of residential burglary.
Brian Shipp, I've been in prison now for 36 years on a first term of kidnap for robbery.
My name's Craig Johnson, 60 years old. I've been incarcerated for 37 years for second degree murder. I'm a veteran of the United States Navy, serving from 1973 to 1979.
Kaepernick brought an issue to the public that apparently is as old as the cotton fields. People need to be aware of the fact that things haven't changed since the existence of the Constitution. Black men, black women, black families, inner cities are still deprived. And unfortunately, America has not addressed the issue.
My experience with the police, where they were the person who pulled my father over, who was a doctor, and they treated him like a drug dealer. And he would get back in the car, and he'd be very humiliated, and he'd be very angry. And sometimes he would talk about how it felt to be treated like that in front of his sons.
I don't have four or five other cop cars pulling up before they pull me out the car, you know. And they're probably saying to me, show us your identification. And the other, they're saying, you know, show us your hands.
I do think it is a statement to the U.S., taken by citizens of the U.S., understanding that it's my right to protest the actions of my government. And that's why the U.S. is supposed to be a great country, because you can do that.
Now that I'm aware about the story behind the national anthem, I have a change of view of my feelings about them kneeling. You know, I never realized Francis Scott Key was a slave owner. They nitpicked the parts they wanted in it so they wouldn't defend anybody later on in years.
Those who have decided to take a knee or hold up their fist during the national anthem, in my opinion, is showing disrespect for those who've served this country or who are currently serving this country.
Because it's, you know, the land of the free, home of the brave, but it's the land of the free because of the brave.
I understand about the movement going on about Colin Kaepernick. The problem I have with it is that there's other ways you can argue the point, you know, but not disrespecting the country.
Fortunately, it's those of us who've served this country and under those colors that have given the people the right to do that.
Do I think this is disrespectful to people that served in the military? No. Again, I'm a United States Air Force veteran, and this would not at all cause me a problem because of the fact that people are not acknowledging or accepting the responsibility of standing during the national anthem.
I don't feel this is disrespectful. Like the flag, I mean, the only disrespectful to the flag I see is whenever you burn it.
I don't want to hear complaints, you know, bring a solution. You know, because if you're just complaining, then you're just making noise. At least bring something to the table to work with.
Put homage and respect back into the neighborhoods by having community block grants and community block dollars put back in place in the inner cities. Too much attention has been put into building the downtowns of major cities. I think in order for us to bring more recognition to the issue that Colin Kaepernick is trying to manifest, pretty much deals with the fact that somebody of that status had to step up and do something more than just protest.
That piece was produced by Lewis A. Scott from the San Quentin Prison Report. Find more of their stories at kalw.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Once Colin Kaepernick's protests of the national anthem were publicized, others began to demonstrate as well. Professional football players, other pro athletes, and high school students. On September 10th, football players from Mission High School in San Francisco were headed to a game in Redwood City. They were led by San Francisco Chronicle Player of the Year, Nyame Harris, a 17-year-old senior quarterback from Bayview.
We was talking about it on the bus with each other, and we was talking about what Kaepernick did a couple games before, And right before the national anthem came on, we're coming back from the coin toss, and we tell everybody to take a knee, and we're going to take a knee for the rights of the United States. And when I took a knee and everyone else took a knee, I felt that I was a big leader, and I felt like I was doing something right.
Everybody followed his lead, except one player. Kicker Duncan Lau stood behind his teammates as they knelt during the national anthem, and he held his fist in the air. He respected the protest of his football family, but he also wanted to honor his grandfather.
He was a colonel in World War II, and I mean, he risked his life for the anthem and for the flag, and he lost plenty of friends and family to it too, as well. It's not supposed to be disrespectful towards anybody, but it's supposed to be more supportive and constructive towards both sides. I mean, that's why I raised the fist as well, just to show that I was both sides of my family, so.
The impromptu demonstration took head coach Greg Hill by surprise. He says he supported his team, but he himself stayed standing.
I have uncles who have Purple Hearts in the military from when they were in the armed forces, so I'm supporting my team and what they do, and at the same time, I stand out of respect.
The team's protest drew national media attention. Kicker Duncan Lau says he and his teammates received praise and criticism.
There's a lot of racist comments, sexist comments. There's a lot of using hateful words, and that I'm not going to say on the press, but it's just a lot of hate that we shouldn't see in our country because we're supposed to be one people. But the reason we kneel is because we're not one people right now. We're just two separate sides.
The action brought the team together. They went on to sweep all of their games in the San Francisco Unified School District. Over in East Oakland, Ed Washington is the head football coach of another school, Castlemont High. He got a call one day from Kaepernick's manager. The NFL quarterback heard that the players had held their own protest, laying down during the national anthem, and he wanted to meet with them. So he did. You can hear him talking with the students in this cell phone video.
I see your courage, your confidence, and that's something that you have to be able to speak into each other as well. When you talk to him with confidence. Speak confidence into him. You're going to play great today. You're going to be the best player out there. And not just the best player on the field, you're going to be the best player when you walk off that field and into the real world.
Coach Washington says the students were
stunned. They were stunned, man. They were stunned and they were excited and they were happy.
I had to come support y'all because the same way y'all took a stand and stood with me, I had to come out here and stand with y'all. So I appreciate what y'all did. I love y'all. Y'all my brothers. I'm here with you.
Kaepernick's contact with the team didn't end with that visit. Coach Washington.
Kaepernick, and this is just between I put it out there. Kaepernick buys us pregame meals every week. And he buys postgame meals just to get these kids fed and to help me out because he really appreciate what we're doing. He invited us down to the little function he threw downtown. And, man, it's just a beautiful thing, man. When he said he was our brother, he was their brother, he meant that. And he meant that because he's showing that. We got people from Oakland won't even come over here to our school. And we in probably the roughest part of Oakland. And none of people won't even show up, you know what I'm saying? That's, you know, on a got that platform. So for him to do that and take a stand, that was real big and that was powerful.
Thanks to KALW's Bowen Wang for that recording. It's not only football players protesting during the national anthem. Members of the Oakland Unified School District Honors Band also discussed ways to take part. The band is made up of middle and high school students. With a performance at the Oakland Coliseum coming up on September 20th, they considered their role in the conversation about racial discrimination and patriotism. One of the 150 students approached music teacher Ted Allen.
We had one student who said that they weren't going to do the event for political reasons. They didn't want to play the national anthem at all or participate. And so then I realized we had an issue that we had to deal with.
We talked about the lyrics. We talked about you know, the fifth verse that talks about slavery. We talked about symbolism of the flag and can one have conflicting feelings about one's country and still show patriotism by performing or standing or kneeling.
We discuss it in classes, not just our jazz band, but throughout other classes at our school. And before we played, we were also notified by the band director.
Our teacher told us that if we wanted to, we can kneel out of solidarity.
To respond to Kaepernick and also support him in his endeavors in fighting systemic racism.
As we were warming up and we knew that this was going to go down at the event and there were parents around at the warm-up who dropped their children off and were watching how things were going. They were excited and were very supportive of the idea. So it wasn't just the teachers, it wasn't just the students, it's coming out of the entire community.
I walked into the field and felt proud of myself for something that I was doing good and right. And I just felt inspired by other people clapping and cheering for us that was just there to watch us and the Ace game, and it felt inspiring.
Well, when they came up with the idea of us taking a kneel, I kind of felt like, as an African-American, that I should, knowing that that could be anyone in my family, you know, dying because of police brutality.
I was standing there and watching this and being part of it. I was actually tearing up watching these kids express themselves.
As we played Land of the Free, those who wanted to kneel down, the crowd applauded, and we finished the end of the song like that. I chose to kneel.
It was a moment to be involved.
So the next day after I kneeled, my mom told me, like, she interrogated me kind of. She's like, why did you kneel? And like, she's like, it doesn't really affect you. I don't know why you did it. And I was like, well, I mean, we all have to stand up for someone, right? Like, if we don't do it, then who's going to do it?
A lot of people thought that we were dishonoring our country by kneeling and like not being part of it.
With some of my friends, we were looking on YouTube about it and we found some news channels, which some of it was negative, a lot of it was negative actually, and only a little bit was positive, and a lot of it entailed the video, the title saying, Oakland Unified Honor Band shames themselves.
Well, Oakland High School has now disgraced themselves during the national anthem at a recent A's game. Black high school and middle school children in the Oakland Unified School District's Honor Band took a knee during the national anthem at the Oakland A's game this week.
A lot of those comments on Facebook and other websites were that we don't really know what's happening in the world and we can't understand. But really, I think it's the exact opposite. We're trying to make our country a better place.
A better place so people can feel comfortable where they stand and with their differences.
I was just thinking about how everybody always says, especially like during the elections and things, how kids are the future. And so I was thinking about how for the future, we could make a difference starting now.
If we just stand up for ourselves and no one else, then there's going to be no one else to stand up for us.
It shows that the Oakland kids are aware of what's happening and we just, they're not afraid to express their opinions. And I mean, I think it was a good message to Oakland.
Because it wasn't a small thing to do. Either, whichever way people chose to act, kneeling or not kneeling, it took a lot of personal reflection. And talking before and after has just made me feel more like I know what my values are and I know what I'm willing to stand up for.
That piece was produced by KALW's Jeremy Jew. It includes the voices of Ted Allen, Daisy Amador, Emily Anzora, Quinn Flannery, Cesar Hernandez, Helena Jack, Tarashi Lee, Charlie Martindale, Daniel Martinez, Serena McIntosh, Olivia Modi, Ayodine Oludayu, Carson Paul, and Zach Pitt-Smith from Oakland Technical High School and Edna Brewer Middle School. I know radio probably ain't gonna play this. Well, we learned a lot reporting today's show, but there's a voice we haven't heard from yet, yours. Do you think it's appropriate to stage a protest during the national anthem? Why or why not? We want to hear what you think. Leave a message on our tip line at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. We'd like to air what you have to say on a future episode of Cross Currents. Today's show was produced by Ben Trefney. Our team includes Lila Day, Nina Gensler-Debs, Olivia Henry, Jürgen Klemm, Angela Johnston, Lisa Morehouse, James Rowlands, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, Andrew Stelzer, Claire Stremple, and Beatrice Thomas. The show is engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Liza Veal. Julie Kane is our managing producer. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Do a homicide here, ride there, put him on trial. Let him have a license and then do it with a smile. Henny only 19, he ain't even had a child. As a child told him, mama, he'll be gone for a while. And she cried, still did you put him inside. Now she all on her own cause her other son died. Listen to the politician as he lied and he lied. He a snake in a suit trying to hide in the sky. Home of the brave and free. Well, damn, officer, what I do? Free just to murder me. Now, hold on, man, don't shoot, I live over there. Land of the beautiful. Hey, hey, man, what you doing, man? Cursed by the hate with how many times did that happen to you? What the fuck do you know about being a black man in America? Is this the new? And you wonder why we walk around strapped. Don't get you saying, hey, for the stars and the stripes, prison bars and the pipe. Young nigga rolling weed and a cigar he could light. Bay red, either.